Culture.
Franz Hals, an artist's artist. A new show pays tribute to an often overlooked Dutch master.
In the late 19th century, a pilgrimage became fashionable for Impressionist painters and other artists who were striving to liberate painting from the stifling tradition of exactitude. Mary Cassatt, Edouard Manet, and John Singer Sargent took the Netherlands' first train line to Haarlem. There, in a small museum attached to the town hall, they could admire and copy the works of that city's greatest artist, who more than 200 years earlier had achieved a freedom of style they strove to emulate, with bold strokes, rough fields of colour, and a vivid sense of movement. Vincent van Gogh rhapsodised over the artist's colours, claiming to have identified 27 shades of black. James McNeill Whistler stayed late and persuaded a guard to let him touch one of the most famous works, a portrait of Regentesses. The artist was Franz Hals, who is the subject of a new exhibition at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. A different version was previously shown at the National Gallery in London. Hals, who died in 1666, was among the most celebrated portraitists in Holland. He was renowned for his technique, which created shimmering effects at a distance, but left his dynamic brushstrokes visible from up close, a style resembling that of Rubens, whom he knew, and later Rembrandt. Such roughness fell out of favour, but in 1868, Hals's reputation was resurrected by Théophile Thoré-Berger, an influential French journalist. Around the same time, Thoré-Berger wrote effusively about a then little-known Dutch artist whose work he had seen in The Hague, Johannes Vermeer. At the turn of the 20th century, Hals, Rembrandt and Vermeer were considered equals, the big three of the Dutch Golden Age. Yet Hals does not have the same standing today. Most people know Rembrandt's The Night Watch and Vermeer's Girl with a Pearl Earring. Few would recognise the Regentesses. Following big exhibitions of Rembrandt and Vermeer, the Rijksmuseum's show of Hals's paintings tries to repair that neglect. Its 50-odd works include rarely seen paintings from private collections and several portraits of couples that normally hang separately. Hals's burghers grin, smirk and exchange knowing glances. In one double portrait, a merchant and his wife emerge from the woods glowing with suggestive joy. Another merchant wryly tilts his chair back on two legs. The sumptuously clad nobleman known as the Laughing Cavalier, whose portrait helped resurrect Hals's fame when it was bought in 1865 for a then extravagant 51,000 French francs, roughly $230,000 in today's money, looks down with amused satisfaction. Why did Hals's reputation ever wane? One explanation is that in an age of ubiquitous snapshots, people had less appreciation for one of Hals's great strengths, his ability to convey fleeting expressions, especially smiles. These are tricky to pull off, with wrinkled eyes and curled lips, and most artists of the period avoided them. This skill with momentary gestures appealed to the Impressionists. Hals spent a lot of time in bars, and his actors, musicians and street types boast swinging arms and gap-toothed grins. Scans show Hals used no preliminary sketches. But the camera may have made his extraordinary technique seem less valuable, according to Taco Dibitz, the Rijksmuseum's director. Photography and film took over the need to depict movement, he says. Hals's choices were often revolutionary, says Tamar van Riesen, the exhibit's co-curator. In a study of a child playing the flute, the subject gazes out of frame, ignoring the viewer entirely. So does a jester playing the lute. Hulse could create conventional polished works too, of sober Mennonites in black cloth, their lace ruffs evoked in meticulous detail. Yet he could also render those frills in what looks like a whirlwind of virtuosic brushstrokes. From a distance, his portraits of officers, like Rembrandt's, a convincing tableau of strutting musketeers and shimmering fabric. Approach closer, and a silk bustle is a field of furious scribbles. To the Impressionists, it felt as though they had looked back centuries and discovered a hidden modernist. To today's viewers, it feels the same way.